Present-day barriers to treatment. Prescription costs. There have been multiple records of recent cases of skyrocketing drug costs for life-saving medications. Two EpiPen auto-injectors could be purchased for $94 in 2007, but since Mylan acquired the rights to these medications, the price has risen to over $700. Credit to Who Listen Daily, 2018. Insulin has become so expensive that many diabetic patients are rationing the vials of this hormone that keep them alive, sometimes at the expense of their own lives. Prasad, 2019. These are just two of the many examples of American healthcare and insurance not effectively serving patients, particularly those who are financially disadvantaged. Laura Keisel, who has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, wrote a piece on the cost of pain for the Harvard Health blog. Not only do pain patients have to pay for medication, many of the ergonomic and non-pharmacological supports they use are not covered by insurance. In addition, many practitioners are recommending non-pharmacological therapies and treatments, such as yoga and acupuncture, which can be costly and usually aren't covered by insurance. Keisel said, "Recently, I attended a seminar on the topic and was immediately struck by the lack of attention to the expense of non-pharmacological treatments being advised to take the place of opioids. People with chronic pain are at greater risk of being unable to afford their pharmaceuticals because they are also more likely to need time off from work to manage their conditions and symptoms. Due to racial inequalities, disabled Black, Indigenous, people of color are at even greater risk. As Showing Up for Racial Justice, also known as SURGE, suggests, or states, ableism works as a mechanism of white supremacy, capitalism, and colonization by devaluing disabled bodies and minds as unnatural, invalid, and unworthy across the lines of race, gender, poverty, and citizenship. Barriers to opioid prescriptions. As discussed in the section on historical treatment of chronic pain, opioids have a successful treatment plan for pain, but are complicated by the fact that they are addictive. In the 1980s, doctors who had been taught to prescribe opioids as a last resort for pain management began questioning whether this practice was effective after a series of articles called into question the likelihood of dependency when prescribed and monitored closely. This caused a rise in the number of opioid prescriptions and subsequently a rise in the number of addictions. However, as doctors reduced the availability of prescribed opioids in response to the rate of addictions, the use of illicit opioids such as heroin surged. Credit to Carell, 2018. As doctors and officials scramble to try to reduce opioid abuse, a variety of barriers emerge, threatening the effective treatment of chronic pain patients who manage their pain by taking opioids. New barriers rise in the form of policy and law. One common legal document patients on opioids are asked to adhere to is a pain management agreement, which provides stipulations on a patient's use of opioids and other medications to reduce the likelihood of abuse. These vary between pain clinics, but Sherry Gordon lists five of the common tenets pain patients may expect to find on such agreements. 1. You agree to take the medication exactly as prescribed. 2. You agree to random drug testing. 3. You agree to get all of your prescriptions filled at one pharmacy, and you agree to allow the doctor and pharmacist to share information about you. 4. You agree that lost, stolen, or destroyed medications will not be replaced. And 5. You agree not to request nor take pain medications from other healthcare providers. Each of these statements can be a major inconvenience to pain patients. The first tenet means that patients cannot fluctuate their use of their prescription based on their symptoms. The third and fourth tenets may affect whether a patient has access to their medicines, which may not be replaced if lost or stolen, or access may be monopolized at one location due to unexpected transport concerns, travel, holiday, and inclement weather. credit, Gordon, 2018. The fifth tenet means that chronic pain patients may not be prescribed pain medications by other providers, even when it is routine for those providers to prescribe these. This means that someone who has signed one of these agreements can't be prescribed pain medicine by their dentist for a toothache. It also means that if a pain patient is admitted to the hospital under emergency circumstances, they can't receive emergency pharmacological support for pain, or that they violate their contract and risk losing access to the treatment for their pain. Credit, Gordon, 2018. Finally, the second tenet means that patients are subjected to random drug testing. This is why patients must take their prescriptions exactly as prescribed. Taking a lower amount of medication can lead doctors to believe that the patient has been selling their medication. Taking a higher dose to cope with flares of their condition can cause doctors to believe that the patient is abusing the medication. Testing positive for other drugs, such as marijuana, which can also be used medically, may also result in redaction of prescription privileges depending on the provider and agreement. Additionally, some providers expect patients to pay the copay for the drug test, which can be difficult for economically disadvantaged people who have chronic pain conditions because they can be hit with an extra invoice at any time. Credit, Gordon, 2018. Another problem with drug testing of pain patients is that providers are given agency in their decisions about whether or not to revoke pain prescriptions. This allows providers to make decisions about whether to revoke a patient's prescription based on not only the results of the random drug test, but also any biases they have. Since the testing is random, there are no restrictions on how often a patient may be drug tested. A study conducted by researchers from Yale found that this lack of standardization, combined with a doctor's preconceived notions about black patients, led to them being drug tested much more frequently than white patients, and having their prescriptions revoked at a much higher rate, even when controlling in the difference in frequency of testing. Credit Kashef, 2018. This is a problem, but the implications of exactly how much of a problem it is can be put into perspective by the fact that white people are more likely to abuse opioids and that Black and Latinx patients report higher rates of fear of addiction. Credit Wyatt, 2013. Additionally, although women are more likely to experience chronic pain, they are less likely to be believed. This is especially true for Black women who experience higher rates of autoimmune conditions like lupus. Alexandra Moffitt-Bateau, 2014, a Black woman with lupus, reports that her doctors were, quote, more willing to believe that she was a drug addict than a PhD candidate. Descriptive links for references. All of the resources are listed in the order they appear in the present-day barriers to treatment. To access a complete list of citations for this open educational resource, please see the full list of references at the end of the page. We do not read or describe our descriptive links or citations aloud, but encourage those listening to use screen reading technology to identify the links so they may use their assistive technology to navigate to them. Thank you for reading and/or listening.